Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been sitting in a cab for 40 minutes in New York, and it's always a thrilling ride. We're going nowhere fast.
Well, we were joking because weren't you having some flight problems earlier out of Houston as well today? So it was kind of like you were Steve Martin from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, no. I wasn't having the problem.
Oh, okay.
The problem was the lady was making the announcement while I was doing the Toronto show, was really enthusiastic into the mic about the three-hour delay to Houston. And then she would come on and say, that flight's delayed 2 hours and 45 minutes. Well, of course, it's 15 minutes later. Like, it was uncle. She must have made 100 announcements during my interview. I was losing my mind.
I can see that.
So tomorrow, I told the guys in Toronto, I said, tomorrow I'm going to do my my hit from Penn Station, where they're announcing trains every 6 minutes.
Oh, that'll be perfect. Just get some good ambient noise. Ray, as a father, you saw you played in the NHL. Your son, Landon, did get into four games last year, got into his first NHL game this season last night. I'm guessing the nerves a little bit easier for him now that it's game number five, and maybe even for Dad.
Well, I mean, he's got a little bit of an idea, you know, what the league's about. You know, the first time you get there, you're, you know, everything's racing around 100 miles an hour, including your heart, and you never really know where the play is or where you're supposed to be. The difference was, and there's a couple differences, I guess. One is last year, you know, he got called up, and you know, because they were at a point where they needed a forward, and you know, they'd called up a bunch of other guys. He didn't have a great year. The year before was way better than his year last year. This year, he, you know, on merit, he probably deserved to get an opportunity early on, but Detroit's deep and they got lots of players, and that's just the way it goes. So I think he feels the comfort of having a better year, but he played 14 minutes last night. He played on a line that with Luke Glendening and Drew Miller. They played against Eric and Jordan Staal and Alex Semin, so it's not like they were eased into things, and I guess he did a good job, so because he's on the plane and they're going to Montreal and they won, so it was a good night. And for me, I was working, and all I could do was keep refreshing the box. It was driving me crazy, just to follow it like that.
Ray, I mean, goes without saying that you're proud of your son anyway, and on a night when he's back in the National Hockey League, even more so. What's Landon going to be at the National Hockey League level? Do we know yet? Because he spent his time in the minors. You know him better than anybody. What does he project as in your mind?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, he's got 27 goals this year. He has no power play goal. He doesn't play on the power play. So he's got 24 goals at 5-on-5, and the other three are shorthanded. And so you might look, you know, if you look at the number, you'd say, oh, you know, he could probably be a scorer. I would say he's a bottom six forward. He's extremely fast. He's an excellent penalty killer. And I think he's going to be like a 15-plus guy. Now, is he going to do that? I have no idea. It's like projecting a young guy on, you know, it's called up to Edmonton, and the first time you see him, mm-hmm. like, you know, like, he looked good that game, and he didn't look so good this game because they're just getting their feet wet. So it's really tough to project, but, you know, my guess is that he's gonna be able to force his opportunity with the way he skates and the way he penalty kills, and the fact that he can score a bit too is not going to hurt him.
Ray Ferraro joins us. Ray, the Pittsburgh Penguins, everybody's wondering what's wrong. Man, they came out guns a-blazing. Crosby 10 seconds in. A few minutes later, they're up 2-0. They're up 3-0. And everyone thinks, okay, you know, they'll win. Ottawa, it's done. And then the Senators come back. The young rookies score all over the place. End up winning in overtime. And now Pittsburgh is, you know, they're still in the driver's seat a bit point-wise. But, you know, what do you see? Is it just the injuries to Letang? What is that team lacking?
Well, it's not just the injuries, but the injuries are significant. I mean, they're missing Olimata, Christian Ehrhoff, and Chris Letang. So basically half of the defense and the puck-moving part of their defense is missing. And so that's going to impact every team. There's no team that can withstand that and be the same team. But up front, when I look at them, well, they're relatively healthy. They're not good enough. I mean, they're a team that lacks identity. They tried to become a harder team to play against in the postseason with the additions they made. So they had Max Lapierre, and who doesn't? I think he's got 2 assists in 30 games that he's played in Pittsburgh. They have Craig Adams, who's got no goals in 60 games, but is an excellent penalty killer. They added Blake Como and Steve Downey, and so what they've gotten is they've gotten tougher, but they have less skill and they have less discipline. They rely a great deal on their two best players, of course. But last night Crosby was playing with Daniel Winnick. I'm like, how does that make any sense? So I don't know. I don't think they're a great team. They're not a deep team for sure. Last night, I mean, they have a 3-0 lead, and their goalie played fantastic. Marc-Andre Fleury was unreal in that game, and they still lost. And that, you know, they got outshot 18-3 in the third period. They couldn't get the puck out of their zone, and I was quite surprised. I mean, when they were up 3-0, that, you know, my quick image in my head is this thing's about over, except it wasn't.
Yeah, that's the tough thing to figure out, Ray. I mean, we can look at the lack of forward depth, or that the Penguins really don't score that much, given that they don't have absolutely the best goaltending in the league. But when a team with this experience doesn't keep its foot on the throat, you're going, what's that all about? That's not always personnel. No, sometimes, Robin, that's character.
Yeah, well, perhaps. But so their third line, or their fourth line last night, no goals in 60 games for Adams, no goals in 35 games for Lapierre, no goals in 30 games for Bo Bennett. Then you got Blake Como, who's playing with Evgeny Malkin. He's not a second-line player. You've got Daniel Winnick playing alongside of Sidney Crosby. He's not a first-line player. They're not. Chris Kunitz has got, I think, I know he's got one goal in 19 games, but it's worse than that. It's longer than that. So the guys they rely on have not been productive, but they got too many guys in the lineup that aren't going to ever score for them.
Yeah.
So, look, the problem this year, it's easy and maybe an old generalization to say, gee, you know, what's their goaltending going to be like? Marc-Andre Fleury's had a terrific year, and last night he was fantastic. He's not the problem. Mm-hmm. He gave up 4 goals last night. He made 40 saves. And if he doesn't play the way that he did, Ottawa would have scored 6 goals. I mean, he was fantastic. So, I mean, frankly, they're a team in cap hell. They don't have any way out of it. They've handed Edmonton their first-round pick for David Perron. And how do you get better? Like, how do you get better in a hurry? I don't know the answer for them.
Yeah, good question.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, Montreal getting bad news. Pacioretty's done for the regular season, and at this time of year, no one's going to know for sure if he's ready for the playoffs or not, but it was a pretty hard hit he took. They're a team that doesn't score a whole bunch. Their leading goal scorer isn't there. You know, how ripe for an upset do you think Montreal is if Pacioretty can't go in the first round?
Well, I don't know. I think they can win the first round. I really do. Even without Pacioretty. But it sure as heck not getting any easier. I mean, they don't have a margin for error anyway, and that's with their best goal scorer. Now you take him out of the lineup, and as I was saying in the broadcast yesterday about the Penguins, and excuse the noise, I just got out of the car here, but where are you going to find that player to replace Pacioretty? You don't have one of those guys sitting in American League. You know, like Evgeny Malkin goes down, they don't have a centerman in Pittsburgh to replace Evgeny Malkin. You can kind of hope and fill in around things, but when I look at the Canadians, they can talk about, oh, it's an opportunity for P.A. Parenteau to step up, and it's a chance for more power play time for Lars Eller, or however they want to sell the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is their very best forward isn't in their lineup, and nobody can replace their very best forward at any time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you know, that's a big chunk out of their lineup. I mean, when I look at a team, the team ahead of them, the Rangers, Ray, I know you like them. They've got the goaltending. They've got more depth of offense, and they haven't lost a big guy like that. Do they go into the playoffs as a clear-cut favorite in your mind right now? Or just the favorite?
I think they're the best team in the East.
Yeah.
No, I think they're the best team in the East. The one reason I would never look past Montreal, of course, is Carey Price. But without Pacioretty, I mean, that changes the equation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Senators are on this incredible run. They're 21-4-4. And, you know, I just got to the hotel in New York, so I'm doing the game tomorrow. So I'm doing a little research on them. And the Rangers' record is better than the Senators. And the Senators are 21-4-4. Like, they've been incredible for about 3 months. And they did it without their goalie.
Yep.
For the most part, because Cam Talbot came in and had a fantastic run. So I look at them, you know, they're going to get Kevin Kline back on defense probably at the start of the playoffs. So they're deep and skilled and really good on the blue line. Up front, they probably would have loved another scorer, but the one guy that's really sprung to the forefront, and he was found money, is Kevin Hayes. You know, Hayes has got, since the new year now, he's up near 30 points since the new year. And the reason he was found money is he's a Chicago draft pick who didn't sign. He was an unrestricted free agent and signed with the Rangers, and he's big. He's really good protecting the puck. He's a good passer, and he's given them depth in their lineup. And, you know, so they, you know, Rick Nash seems to be back to form. Chris Kreider's a heck of a forward. JT Miller is finally finding his way as an impact player. They're good. They're the best team in the East for me.
Who do you think's the best in the West?
I pick St. Louis at the start of the year. I'm going to stay there. I mean, I don't love their goaltending. I don't think they love their goaltending. You know, 2 weeks ago, Brian Elliott was going to be their starter. Now it looks like Jake Allen's going to be their starter, but that's a good team that scores more easily than they have in the past. I mean, half the problem is going to be, you know, where you finish and who you match up with first, right? I mean, like, there's going to be some really good teams, guys, that are going to lose in the first round, and you'll look at them and go, man, if they could have just got out of that round, they might have been okay.
Yeah, very well said, Ray. One quick last one for you. The Jets, the Kings, and the Flames. One of them is going to miss in the West. Flames play both of those teams. They play the Kings on Thursday and the Jets on Saturday. Who do you see missing the playoffs and why?
Well, I've been wrong 3 weeks in a row. I keep picking, you know, when that question gets asked. I mean, I keep waiting for Calgary to fall apart. They don't. Then it looks like the Kings have, you know, like it looks like they've shot themselves in the foot again, you know, losing last night. And there's no way they can rebound. But I still have this thought that maybe they will. But after losing last night, my thought is, you know what, maybe it's their time to miss. Maybe they just can't dig deep enough to find enough to win. And so I'm going to say L.A. because I think Winnipeg's going to make it. Winnipeg should already be out about six times.
Yeah.
And then you look at their schedule and, you know, there's no way they're going to win in St. Louis. Oh, they get a shutout. Of course they did. With no Bufflin. Of course they did. Right? Like, they almost defy logic, but I'm telling you, that team, I wouldn't want to play them in the first round. And if they might be one of those teams, if they can just get in, they'd be okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Jets.
I think Winnipeg's going to make it.
Ray, we will chat with you next week, my man. Have fun in New York.
I will find a place to go. I'm sure there's a place or three to find your way around.
Yeah, and, yeah, something tells you there
and
is.
And then next week when we talk, we can don't play any of this clip in case I'm wrong four different ways as to which teams miss.
Well, hey, Ray, the good news is next Wednesday, both you and I guaranteed won't be picking the San Jose Sharks to win the Cup, so that's good news.
This will be the first time we've been right in a long time, Jason.
Appreciate your time. Ray Ferraro, both of us laughing about, yeah, I'm not picking San Jose again. Who are you picking? Yeah, I'll pick San Jose to beat LA.
Idiot.